Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise, your inspiration station. Thank you so much for joining us. Today we are having an open forum. What that is? It is your opportunity to ask whatever question you like about your relationship, and Marcos is here to give you some biblical advice. So this is a great time to write the number down so you have it and can use it. 855-454-5905. I'm Tiffany Bacon. I'm your co-host. And here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos. How are you?
Good morning, Tiffany. I'm doing very well. And good morning, of course, to all our friends who are listening throughout Philadelphia, the surrounding area, Charlotte, the surrounding area, or online, anywhere in the world. We're so encouraged that you decided to join us this morning, and we're really excited about today's show. We have a special announcement we will announce starting at 9 a.m., so you'll have to stay tuned for that. But as always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, thank you so much for your love, your mercy, and your direction, especially direction, Father, for our marriages. Father, I do pray that you give me a double portion of your spirit, give me the words to be able to inspire and encourage and give just godly, biblical wisdom to those who are hurting and those who are seeking answers. Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And our scripture for today comes from Hebrews chapter 13. I want to read this here starting in verse 4, where it says, Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God would judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And, you know, it seems like the struggle a lot of times is with being content, with wanting more and feeling like we don't have enough, whether, you know, if you're single, wanting to find that special someone, and if you're married, feeling like maybe you made the wrong choice or that person is not really meeting your needs, and so there goes the desire to go after other things, other relationships, having affairs or having even starting to flirt with someone from the opposite sex and having struggles and temptations. And the Bible also says here in verse 5 to stay away from the love of money. It doesn't mean that money is bad, but the love of it. You know, our love needs to be number one for God. And then we need to put our love in perspective for our spouse, for the person that God has allowed us to spend the rest of our lives with. So we do want to hear from you. As always, we hope and pray that today's program will enrich, empower, and encourage you towards having a great relationship. And like I said earlier, we will be making a special announcement starting at 9 a.m.
All right. And the number to reach us is 855-454-5905.
You know, one of the things I want to talk about especially is what we have coming up at the end of March. March the 29th will be our Inspiration and Music Conference, our Inspiration and Music Conference. Mm-hmm. And that will be, like I said, March the 29th, and it will be at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there'll be a ton of workshops, but one of the ones, of course, that we're so excited about is the workshop for Marriage Beyond the Vows. You know, every year that is just packed. So many of you turn up and come out and really, especially those who come as couples, you see the power. You see how inspiring, how challenging and motivating, and really how hopeful you leave. So again, there are a ton of workshops. We want you to visit praisephilly.com for more information. But the one that I'm hosting, the Marriage Beyond the Vows workshop, will have many guest panelists, including David and Tamala Mann from Meet the Browns. And of course, you know Tamala Mann from that hit song, Take Me to the King. They're amazing. They were with us last year. This is the type of thing you don't want to miss. You don't want to feel like, oh, okay, I'll catch the next one. You know, every year it gets better and better, and it's just unique with how the Holy Spirit moves in people's marriages. We've seen some who have basically coming in with their last string of hope and leave inspired and encouraged and hopeful. So more, we'll be talking more about that, but we do want you to stay tuned. We do have a special announcement coming up in just a little bit, right, starting at 9 a.m. But we want to hear from you. We want to have this discussion. It's an open forum, meaning that whatever you want to ask, whatever you want to talk about, go ahead and give us a call. Tiffany will give you that number, and we'll have some great conversation, and we'll guide you through the Bible, through a biblical perspective.
All right, and the number to reach us is 855-454-5905.
Amen. All right, well, I think we might have a call here coming in from Charlotte.
Yes. So we'll let them get out whatever it is they need to get out. So they're getting prepped right now.
And I think what we might have a chance to do, because in a few we'll be taking a commercial break, but we'll have an opportunity to introduce that caller, have some conversation. And again, we want you to stay connected. We want you to give us a call. We want to have some great conversation with you. But today is an open forum. So anything you want to talk about, whatever's on your heart, keep in mind, you know, if there are little ones near you, you might want to, you know, move them to another room. You want to put on some headphones or something so that you can tune in to this adult conversation. Of course, it'll be tasteful, but it will be of an adult nature.
All right. And again, the number is 855-454-5905. Let's speak with Alicia calling out of Charlotte. Alicia, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Are we saying it properly, Alicia?
Yes, you are. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. And what is your comment or question for today?
Well, it's a little personal, but it's sex within the marriage. Recently, my husband and I have just picked on a lot of weight. Well, I guess when you're happy, you gain weight. But since we were dating, and not to mention we're both cooks, I guess that doesn't help any. We both gain a lot of weight, and so I would say on my behalf, my sexual attraction has went down a little bit. And is it a sin to masturbate? That's what I really want to ask.
You know, that's a great question, Alicia, and I do want to throw out this disclaimer again. If you have little ones, you might really not want them involved in hearing this conversation, as it is an adult conversation, although we are tasteful about it and we would be very biblical about it. I think, Alicia, that is an excellent question. Let me address it in two parts. Number one, the weight issue. You know, I think weight is for many, is very easy to gain. It's a lot harder to lose and to keep off, right? And so you said something like if you're happy, you know, you gain weight. Well, a lot of times, even if people are depressed, they seem to gain weight. But the reality is, you know, are you treating your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit? And also knowing that, you know, the person you married is the person, you know, you still want to make sure that you still have that attraction to them.
Right.
And so although it shouldn't all be physical, we will be kidding ourselves, you know, telling us that the physical doesn't matter. It does. There was an attraction there. Now, again, I don't think that should be the most important thing, but it is important enough to be able to take care of, and not just even for physical looks, which is important, but also for health reasons. And so your second question is about masturbation. Is it okay? Well, I think, number one, you got to look at the heart of that question, right? And I think you're coming from a very pure heart. I don't think you're trying to figure out loopholes or trying to find ways to get around that. There's a scripture that I'm going to point to, Alicia, but I hate to do this. I don't want to, like, get into that scripture, get into this discussion, and then we're going to take a break. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the break in just a moment, and then when we come back, we'll go ahead and answer that question for you. Is that okay?
Okay.
All right, so we want you to hold on, Alicia. Don't touch the dial. And if you haven't called in yet, here's the number, 855-454-5905. Don't touch that dial. Marriage Beyond the Vows returns after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Let me give you the number. We're having an open forum today, and to reach us with your question, any question you have about your relationship, all you have to do is dial 855-454-5905. Marcos?
You know, every time we have an open forum, we end up having them about once a month, sometimes about every 6 weeks or so. But we always get many of those questions that you're too afraid to ask. You know, you might not ask your pastor, your preacher.
Right.
If you're single, you might not know, you know, who to ask. Do you ask your married friends? Is it a little bit uncomfortable? So we give you the opportunity to ask these questions. In a moment, we're going to go back to the phone lines where Alicia has been waiting patiently. And there are many more who are calling on the queue. It seems like all of them are from Charlotte. So, you know, again,
awesome.
If you are from Philadelphia. Well, we thank you, Charlotte. You know,
hey,
but
Charlotte.
Philadelphia, New Jersey, Delaware, all those online, go ahead and give us a call as well. Tiffany will give out that number one more time.
And it's 855-454-5905 as we rejoin with Alicia from Charlotte.
Yes, yes. Alicia, you're still there?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your patience. It seems like, you know, as always, you open up a can of worms, which is good. I really do appreciate it. I'm sure many of us who are listening appreciate your question and the courage it takes to ask that question. So for all those who are just tuning in, the question was, is it okay to masturbate? And I have to throw in this disclaimer one more time here as we have this topic. If you have little ones, this is really for adults, kind of mature conversation. Of course, we'll be tasteful about our conversation, but it is for adults. So, Alicia, in the Bible, there are quite a few places where I think there's one scripture where really it kind of addresses masturbation. Believe it or not, it's not a topic that it's clearly addressed in the scriptures, and thus there are many opinions and schools of thought regarding this. And I'll tell you my point of view in just a minute. But the scripture that most people turn to is Genesis chapter 38. Where God gives specific instructions to Onan. Onan was basically supposed to marry his brother's wife. You know, as his brother passed away, you know, it was a custom, kind of the Jewish tradition to go ahead and marry your brother's wife. But his duty was to fulfill, was to have offspring. Like the Bible says, to be fruitful and multiply. And so one of the things he did is he knew that the child would not be his child. So whenever he slept with his brother's wife, he spilled the semen on the ground to keep from providing offspring to his brother. And consequently, God saw that as wickedness, disobedience, and he killed him. And he died. And so a lot of times people will refer to that. But that's not masturbation, right? That is, he was actually having sexual relationships with his wife at the time. And he just didn't want to be obedient and produce offspring because he knew that offspring was not going to count as his. Now, that's interesting, right? We live in a very different time. We have very different customs. But nevertheless, it goes back to, okay, are we obedient to God? That's right. Really what matters. And so Jesus kind of changes that in you know, in the New Testament. You know, we're not under the Levitical law anymore. We're not under, you know, the do's and don'ts of the Old Testament. And so Jesus is asked a similar question, but it's more about adultery, but it's about the heart. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus goes ahead and answers this. And I'll just read this from Matthew 5, verse 27. It says, "You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And then he goes on and on about how to be radical about that. So Jesus takes it a step further. He says, listen, it is about your heart. Now, we have to be honest. You know, when someone is masturbating, they're having lustful thoughts, right? They're having desires about someone else. And so this is my point of view, and this is just mine as a person, because the Bible, you know, does give us liberties, but at the same time, we should never take anything that the Bible says and twist it. So because the Bible is silent about it, but it's very clear about the heart, it's always the question of why. Why are you doing this? So, for example, if this is something that you and your husband together agree on, and it's going to edify your relationship, like our theme scripture talks about in Hebrews, to keep the marriage bed pure. And if it's going to enhance your sexual relationship, then if that's something the two of you agree on, that's fine. As long as there's no lust in there, you're not bringing someone else, you're not bringing pornography, you're not fantasizing about someone else, then that's something that you agree upon. However, if it makes you feel awkward or if it challenges your conscience, then don't do it. But for those singles that are listening, it's who will you be thinking about when you're doing this? And that's where the lust comes in. So in many ways, it's you got to question your heart. You know, what are you thinking about? What's on your heart when right. you're doing this? And that to me, that is the best way I can answer that question. If you're separated from your spouse for a long time, I mean, I don't want to get into all the details, but there are many ways to, you know, find creative ways to mutually meet each other's needs. But in general, the sexual experience needs to be to edify each other and to bring pleasure to one another. So if it's only bringing pleasure to you and it's not helping the relationship, helping the marriage, then I would say it's not good. Especially if you feel like you're going to meet your own needs, and then when it's time to be intimate with your spouse, you feel like you don't have the desire.
Okay.
So does that help?
Yeah, that helps.
Okay. Because
the ultimate goal is for us to both get in shape.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's where you start, right? Because no one starts off. Imagine every marriage saying, okay, as soon as we get married, is it okay to just masturbate? We don't want to meet each other's needs. No, you want to meet each other's needs. And if some things are going to help you to get there, then go for it.
Okay. Right. I appreciate it.
God bless. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for...
Thank you, guys. I listen to you every Saturday.
So okay, excellent. Excellent. You need to make a trip up here next month when we have our Inspiration and Music Conference.
Yeah, I heard about that. We'll be looking into that.
It would be worth your time. I tell you, many, many folks travel and make a weekend out of it and have an amazing time. Not only do you have an opportunity to attend the workshop, there are a ton of other workshops, and there's like a huge, huge concert that we will be having as well. So go to praisephilly.com, find out more about it. But I think it will be great. You'll be inspired by what you hear.
Well, thank you.
God bless you, Alicia. Thank you so much for your call.
All right. Take care. Let's go to Deidre calling in from Charlotte as well. Deidre, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're
good.
Doing
great. How you doing?
My question was, it was really about last week, but I tried to get call in, but I couldn't get in at the last minute.
Okay.
But I came through a very bad domestic violence, physically, mentally, and verbally.
Mm.
And during that marriage, what put the last straw for me is that when my mother passed away in July of 2008, I really got beaten really pretty bad in October of that same year.
Mercy.
And I never went back. But during the whole marriage, I was very submissive to my husband. I loved taking care of my husband and my children, my family. I found out after the divorce, which was last year, that he was doing a lot of cheating during the marriage. He did have a baby outside of the marriage as well. Now, I want to remarry one day. Can I remarry one day, even though that my husband was the one who went out of God's commitment when we got married? Will I be able to marry again?
Okay, that's an excellent question. You know, I want, if you have your Bible, if not, I want you to at least write this down. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul actually addresses the topic of marriage. And in this part here in verse 10, Paul says, to the married I give this command. It says, not I, but the Lord. So it's clear that it's not just his advice, but this is what the Lord says. It says, a wife must not separate from her husband, but if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, okay? And a husband must not divorce his wife. Now, that's what he's saying that God is saying. So the question goes back to, and is a topic that we did address quite a bit last week, is, you know, what's permissible? What does God allow? And Jesus addressed many of those answers as well in Matthew when he talked about this. So right under the scripture that we quoted earlier, he talks about having a divorce or getting divorced, except when it's for sexual immorality. So I think, Deidre, the first question you got to ask yourself, and something I will never do, is ask someone to violate their conscience. Now, it sounds like to me that you had 100% reason to get out of that relationship. I mean,
right.
you were being abused physically, and you said many other ways, but even the danger of your life, you know, being beaten,
right.
that's just not the way to go. So you did the right thing. You left that relationship, and it sounds like your husband had a totally different agenda. So a couple of things there. If you go back to that scripture in 1 Corinthians 7, it says if your unbelieving husband leaves, let him do so. You're not
right.
bound. So I don't know where he stood or if he claimed to be a Christian or not, but his lifestyle shows me, I mean, that he was not living like a Christian.
Yes, and my brother, he was a minister before he passed away, and he told me that the day of my marriage that, you guys are unequally yoked.
Okay.
And that's what he
wow.
told me.
Wow.
And but he was going to church at one point, doing well. But I think that when he started back hanging around the single
sure.
people again, it changed his whole motive about the marriage. Now, I didn't want to get a divorce. I really wanted to get some counseling and get some help.
Sure.
I was getting my spiritual counseling. Then all of a sudden he said no. I was told mm-hmm. that I was getting too old. I have 4 children. I got too
wow.
fat, you know, and it was just things like that. Sex was boring and so forth. And he said, I'm in love with someone else. He said, but I can't be with you because she won't be with me because I'm with you.
Yeah.
And I tried for 6 months to try to work it out, but it didn't work. So what I did was I got me a trainer, lost the weight.
Uh-huh.
I look fabulous now. People can't believe my
girl,
age,
Deidre,
how
okay.
old I am.
All right.
So he saw me not too long ago, and it's like he wanted to try to rekindle the
mm-hmm.
marriage, but he still has that temperament. He still has that worldly lifestyle.
Sure, sure. And Deidre, hold on. I don't want you to get too sidetracked, and congratulations on really taking your life
you.
Back. But I think in this case, at least from what you're sharing with me, is you didn't leave him. He left you.
Yes, he did.
And so in that case, you know, and he was acting like an unbeliever. Now, I got to say this clearly. Just because someone goes to church doesn't mean they're a believer. It's their lifestyle, right? The Bible says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, right? So in a lot of ways, this man was not living right. I believe that the scriptures here about divorce and about working things out apply to two people who love God and feel like they can't reconcile. Well, why not?
Right.
Why can't two people who love God and submit to his will can't work it out? Because they're not willing to submit to God. And so when someone steps out on the marriage, when someone is living their own life, they're not following the word of God, and they decide to leave, 1 Corinthians 7 says, then let them do so. I mean, there's nothing you can do.
That's
and I think you're doing the really, really the right thing by not falling back into the trap of him wanting to get with you again, because, you know, it's a trap. He hasn't showed you that he's changed. He hasn't shown that repentance. He even had a child outside. And, you know, if he really did change, then I would say give him an opportunity. But if you've seen these patterns, these red flags, then, you know, just run far.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would never get back into that because especially the physical abuse.
Of course.
Right after the time when I lost my mother and sister a month apart, and then this happens a few months later.
Yeah. Wow,
so I would never know. But I know that ever since that time, I have become celibate. And and yes, sometimes I may have the mind of, you know, want to be with someone, but I'm kind of afraid. But I am getting my counseling, but I do want to remarry again.
So well, look, according to what you shared and according to these scriptures, I mean, you need to study it out for yourself, but I think you absolutely have grounds for remarrying. And this time around, make sure you're equally yoked and that
yes.
he's a spiritual man
for
that
sure.
loves God and is going to respect you and treat you right.
I will.
Amen. Well,
so
Deidre,
much.
We thank you so much for your call.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You.
And I love your show. Thank you. I write down notes every
there
Saturday.
There you go. Well, Deidre, thank you. And, you know, the same thing we've been telling everyone, you definitely would want to come and make a trip out of this next month on March the 29th. We're having a huge, you know, our annual Inspiration and Music Conference, which is huge. Every year is bigger and better. And we will have a workshop there for marriage and blended families. So I think it'll be a great opportunity if you decided to
Thank
make
you.
That trip
oh, yeah.
to Philadelphia.
I'm thinking about that for sure. Thank you.
Amen. Well, go to praisephilly.com for more information. And once again, thank you so much for listening and for making the call today.
All right.
God bless.
Take
God
care.
Bless. Bye-bye.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station. We're welcoming your phone calls. We're having an open forum today, so you can ask whatever question you have about your relationship or even lack thereof. So if you have a question about that, too, reach out to us at 855-454-5905.
And we are going to make a special announcement in a few minutes, a little bit after 9 a.m., so you want to stay tuned for that. We're going to continue with our phone calls. And if you are a little shy of calling, let me tell you, we're having some great, honest conversation. Mm-hmm. It is of an adult matter, so you want to make sure that you keep the little ones away. But go ahead and give us a call. If not, go to Facebook.com, post your questions, send them to us. We do want to have some amazing dialogue there. And I believe we have another caller from Charlotte as well.
Yes, Victoria is on the line. Victoria, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Thanks
Victoria.
For taking my call.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling us this morning. And, you know, our topic today is anything you want to ask and talk about. We're having an open forum today.
Okay. I am originally from Houston. I moved to Charlotte to marry my husband approximately 4.5 years ago.
Okay.
As soon as I moved here, I realized that he had been married previously for 22 years, and we lived in close proximity to the ex-wife.
Wow.
And so everything just started out really kind of tense.
Okay.
With her presence and my presence, and it got to the point where I was told that I couldn't come around to like family functions or anything like that because it was so much tension. So now we have moved. We were living in Greensboro, and I was traveling for 3 years to work in Raleigh. So now we live in Charlotte, and I work in Charlotte, and it's still like that. It's like if he goes to visit his kids, I'm not allowed to go, and I don't know anybody here. So it's like.
Well, let me ask you this question, Victoria.
Victoria,
first of all, has he? What's the reason that he gives you? Because I know he was married 22 years, so that could be awkward. But if he's divorced, or I don't know if he's a widower, if he's divorced. But whatever the reason is, what does he tell you the reason why he can't bring you around the family?
Because, well, it's not the family. It's not his immediate family. It's only his ex and his stepkids.
Okay.
That's the only. Around them is when I'm not allowed to come.
Okay, I got you. I got you. So it's just a little awkward that way. And I think, is this something that you discussed in premarital counseling? And did you even have premarital counseling?
Well, he's actually a minister.
Okay. Well, ministers still need premarital counseling. So
right. I accept that. But it's at the point now where I don't want to be in the marriage anymore.
Okay.
And I want to go back. I want to move back to Houston.
But you want to move because he won't take you to family functions? I mean, what would be your reason for?
Well, I feel alone here. I feel disrespected. I feel like he's being inconsiderate. And he has no remorse. He doesn't give me an explanation.
Okay.
He'll go places and won't answer the phone for hours. And it's just.
Okay. Well, a couple of things here, Victoria. Number one, let's go to what God says, right? I mean, God doesn't say you can divorce someone just for any reason because he won't answer your calls or because you feel disrespected. Now, those are valid reasons to feel hurt, but they don't necessarily equate for reasons to say, okay, I'm divorcing you. You know, the vows that we made, right, is, you know, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, you know, until death. So in this case, you're saying, well, I know I made these vows and I made them before God, but I don't feel good. You know, he's disrespectful. And I'm not trying to downplay it, but
no,
to say, okay, I'm going to divorce him, I'm leaving him for this reason, I'm going back to my hometown, then you got to go back and ask yourself, what was that vow that you made? Number one, is he willing to get help? Are you and your husband willing to get some counseling? Because it even sounds like you skipped some steps from the very beginning, steps that perhaps would have helped you to deal with what you're dealing with now.
Well, that's the only thing. That's the only reason why I've been here this long is because of the vows that I made.
Okay.
But things are not getting any better. And I don't want to live the rest of my life in a and I know I'm submissive to him. I'm a good wife. He lost some part of his income. I've done everything that I'm supposed to do, and I feel like I'm just in this alone.
Victoria, but you need to stop this, and I'll tell you why. You're giving your side of the story, right? He's a horrible husband. You're an amazing wife. I'm sure that there's more to it. I mean, just from my experience, after over 20 years of counseling, I can tell you that there's more there. Now, I think it starts with you being humble and say, okay, what can I do differently? Is there something that perhaps you're not doing? Now, you're able to see what he's not doing very clearly, but I'm sure there's something that you can change. Unless you're Jesus Christ and you're perfect, there's going to be something that you can change, right? So you have three choices, Victoria, and I'll break these down for you. I think some are more obvious than the others. Number one, you can decide to stay exactly how you are and be miserable, right? You can make that decision. I don't advise it. I don't think that's necessarily what you want. But believe it or not, a lot of people do that. they complain, they struggle, but they stay in the same situation for year after year after year, and that's a choice you can make. Your second choice is you can leave. You can say, you know, I'm done. Like you said earlier, I felt like I've tried everything and I'm done. You know, based on 1 Corinthians 7, you know, you can leave. You just can't remarry. So you might tell yourself, well, that's fine. I'll just rather be by myself than be in this miserable marriage. And you're free to do that. You can do that. However, you're not free to go ahead and find someone else and remarry, because that would be a decision you're making to leave the marriage, and it wouldn't be based on some kind of infidelity. So that's number two. And then the last choice you have is to figure out a way to change the situation, for God to intervene through counseling, through prayer, through fasting, through working together and getting help and changing the situation, asking God to change it. Those are your three choices. I mean,
what do you do is up to you.
What
do you do when your spouse doesn't want to go to counseling?
Okay.
Doesn't think that there's anything wrong. I mean, what do?
But you still go. I mean, if he won't go, then you go. I think that, number one, it's important to for him to see. You know, let me tell you, I don't care how difficult the situation is. If you change for the better, you're more gracious, you're more loving, you just change for the better. It's a really hard, it would take a very hard heart to say, I don't care. Most people in most relationships will begin to at least have curiosity to know what's causing this change. And that enough has been a start and a, you know, kind of a springboard for couples to go to counseling together. I've counseled individuals, spouses just by themselves. There's a couple right now that I'm counseling that, I mean, the initial, you know, conversation I had was with the husband. His wife, after 25 years, wanted to leave, and he sought me out, and we had time together, and the whole goal was to see if his wife would be willing, and she was not. She was done 25 years. She was willing to just throw it all away. But he began changing his life. He began really working on it. And when she came for the first time to sit down with us, this were her exact words. She said, I was about to leave. I was done with the marriage, except he changed so much. And I knew this was the power of God. I could not ignore it. I have to work on this relationship. She's like, he's a different man. And I tell you, that in itself, I mean, it lit him up. It started so much. And they're doing so much better. You know, they're not out of the woods totally, but they're at a different place. They're communicating. They're talking. They're happy. They're planning their future after 25 years. So, you know, there's hope. And I mean, how long has it been for you?
Five.
Four and a half, you said, right? You moved to Charlotte. Four and a half that you moved. And so I just want to encourage you, don't lose hope. Do your part. But again, you have those three choices. You know, I don't think you're the type that's going to just stay there. You know, after four and a half, almost 5 years, you're pretty much done. So you don't want to just stay in that situation. But I don't know if you necessarily want to leave if you don't believe that that's allowing God to fully work in your life and in your marriage. So my encouragement to you is do what you know you should do, even if he won't come and follow, and then see what happens. And then after you've done everything you could, then leave it in God's hands. If he decides to walk away, well, then there's nothing else you can do. But don't push him away, or don't, you know, kind of speed up the process. Let God work and see what he does.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Victoria, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for calling and being so open about your life.
Okay, thank you.
God bless.
Take care. Let's go to Debbie calling in from New Jersey. Debbie, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Debbie. How are you? So you have a question about marriage, I believe.
Yes.
You called the right place.
Thank you so much. I'm divorced right now. I'm so glad that it's considered as open forum, because this is a question that I have been struggling with since 2002.
Wow.
Here in 2014. But to get to the thing, I was abused and I had a restraining order against my husband. And while we were separated, he divorced me. But I had got a letter saying that he cheated on me while we were married at his job.
Oh, you got a letter from the mistress?
I got a letter from the mistress saying that he cheated on me while we were married, but it wasn't with her.
Oh, wow.
Now,
okay.
She has him. The letter said, now I have him, but he cheated on you while you were married, while he was in my home.
Mm.
So even though he divorced me, and I do believe in the word and the scripture you give about Jesus said, except for fornication, mm-hmm. you know, you can be divorced. But mentally and in my heart, I need to know. I always wanted to know, did he break their marriage when he, before the divorce? This is what I'm trying to say.
Well, that's an excellent question, and I'm glad you mentioned this. That's why I tell people all the time, it really is a matter of how you read the scripture and not going against your conscience. You left him because he was abusive, right?
No, I stayed in a home. He had to get removed from the home because he was abusive.
So he was abusive. Okay, so that's when you put the restraining order. Okay, and he was unfaithful. He left you. It's not like you said, I'm divorcing you because I don't like you anymore. I'm tired of you. You said, you try to work this out. He was the one that stepped out of the marriage, apparently.
No, he abused me and I had to get a restraining order.
Exactly, but you're saying he stepped out on the marriage. He was unfaithful, as far as you know.
Yes. No, I didn't find out until a couple
days
later that I got a letter saying that I have him now, but he cheated on you while you were married.
Who filed for divorce?
He did.
Okay. So he divorced you?
Yes.
Okay. So
I wasn't going to divorce him. I just was going to be separated and leave it in God's hand for 18 months.
The simple answer is he left. Not forget about the restraining order part. He still could have worked it out, but he decided to file for divorce. And as far as you know now, you didn't know that then, but he was also unfaithful. So he broke that covenant of marriage, and he broke that trust in many ways, right? By being abusive, and then by finally saying, I'm done with you. He divorced you. And obviously he didn't just divorce you because he was tired. He had some other plans. He was with someone else, and then even with someone else, it seemed like he was unfaithful. It's a whole mess. But it wasn't something you did. You're the key, and what stands out to me is you're saying you were willing to work it out, but he divorced you.
Yes.
So I think that to me, that makes the answer very clear. You know, it is a matter of the heart. Like, how do you read that passage? I mean, you know, you tried your best to work it out. He left you. He divorced you. I mean, there's nothing else you can do.
Okay, now, I don't want anyone right now, but say, for instance, if the Lord brings someone in my life, am I free?
Well, you can answer that question. I mean, what do you think? I mean, do you believe that you did everything you could to save your marriage and your husband went ahead and he's with someone else? I mean, it's not like you could even reconcile with him, right? He's moved on. He's with someone else. So,
but the part was he cheated. The person said it wasn't with me, but he cheated on you while you were married, while y'all was married.
Okay, but even then, he's cheating now, right? It's not like he's celibate and he's trying to work things out with you.
Okay.
He's moved on. You can't even reconcile, right? I mean, I'm not saying God can't do miracles and he can, you know, decide to leave whoever he's with now and reconcile with you, but that's not what he's choosing to do because he made the choice to divorce you.
Yeah.
He moved on. So what other option does that leave you? Now, if you feel, and there are some women that feel in their heart of hearts that they were just made to be with one man, that didn't work out, and they're fine with staying by themselves for the rest of their lives, then that's on you. But if you feel like it's a desire to get to remarry, I don't see anything in the scriptures from what you've said that would contradict you getting married again.
Okay.
And would make it sin. Now, however, you got to be cautious, right? You want to make sure it's someone that's a believer, that has the same convictions that you have, that you take this to God in prayer, and that you get a ton of advice so that you can build on a solid foundation, correct?
I am a widow, so I knew I was free the first time.
I got you.
So this time, thank you. I'm understanding what you're saying, but I wanted to get that in. I knew I was free the first time.
Okay.
This time.
And here it is, Debbie. You have to have your own convictions about it. If you feel in some way that you're not sure, you're not clear, this is between you and God, right? You can't go against your conscience and tell God, well, Marcos Mercado from Marriage Beyond the Vows told me I can.
Okay.
No, you. How do you read this? How do you interpret that? But most importantly, making sure that, at least from what you've shared, unless there's something more, it doesn't sound like you have much choice.
No,
and if you decided
to. More. This is the first time I ever asked, and I appreciate this.
All right, Debbie. Well, thank you. Thank you. And I hope that helps. And we do pray that everything works out. And listen, come check out our Inspiration and Music Conference. It's going to be amazing. There is a singles conference, but I tell you, even a lot of singles come to the Marriage Beyond the Vows because they just want to learn. They just want to know. Even our co-host here, Tiffany Bacon, sometimes is taking notes of what to do and also what not to do.
One thing. I know you don't have much time. The words say, if a man find it for wife, he find it for a good thing. So I'm not supposed to look for anyone, right?
Well, I think that's another topic, right? Because if you think about, like, you know, in the scriptures about Ruth and how she found her Boaz, I mean, it's not like you don't do any of your part, but I think it's the surrender spirit of not being so desperate that you're searching and you're on the hunt for a husband as much as just that trust in God that, you know, God is going to put the right man in your path. And when he does, that doesn't mean you don't do your part to try to win his heart, but just having that surrendered heart and that resolve that, you know, God's got this.
Yes.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much, Debbie. We really do appreciate you calling us this morning.
God bless you. I've been listening for years.
Thank you.
And just have encouraged today. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it so much.
All right. Thank you so much again. All right. Let's go to Reverend Mack calling in on line two. Reverend Mack, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Good morning. Oh, God bless you.
Is this the one and only Reverend Mack?
And I want to give some comments about a healthy marriage.
Come on.
Okay.
A healthy marriage, in order to have a healthy marriage for the married couples, you got to put Christ the center of that marriage. Because if you don't put Christ the center of that marriage, you don't really have a marriage. But I thank God for my wife and our baby doll. I call her baby doll. We put Christ the head of our marriage. And it's been working for 19 beautiful years. And what makes it so good? I don't mean to rub it in. What makes it so good? We still on our honeymoon.
Whoa! Come on, Reverend Mack. Now let me ask you a question, Reverend Mack, because I know you've called a few times before, and you're a big fan of our praise station here in Philadelphia, and you come to a lot of these events. I mean, what do you have to say to those couples that are probably on the fence and wondering, you know, is it worth it? Should I come to this inspiration and music conference we have coming up in just a few weeks? What do you have to say to them?
I'm going to say to them, it's worth it all. It's worth coming. I mean, you learn. It's very informative. It's very educational. You'll learn something that you never learned before.
Wow. Amen. And you're hearing that from someone who already has a healthy marriage. And I believe that's the key to having an even healthier relationship is always being open to grow and learn and even having fun. Like Reverend Mack says here, him and Baby Doll still have their honeymoon on. Mm. So that's
amazing.
It's going
on.
So guess what? And it's going to go on, Marcus. What I love about it, it's going to go on to Jesus come.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Reverend Mack, thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you in a few weeks at our Inspiration and Music Conference. And you give our love to your wife. And thank you so much for your call this morning.
All right. God bless you. Right.
You too.
Take care. Hey, guys, don't touch that dial. We want you to be a part of the conversation today. 855-454-5905. That's how you can reach us. But we're going to take a brief break, but we'll be right back.
And don't forget, we have a special announcement, so don't go anywhere.
That's right. You don't want to miss the special announcement at 9 a.m. Don't touch the dial. We'll be right back after this.